The satsang is being offered to the reunion summit, which is a wonderful gathering that's happening globally. And I want to thank Josh for organizing this great event and to thank you for the honor of participating. And I want to thank all of those who are involved in making it happen and those who are participating on this love stream, wherever you may happen to be in local space. And thank everyone here in this local space of the Satyoga Ashram, from which we are transmitting on the misty mountains of Costa Rica. And I thank all of the retreatants, the volunteers, the permanent residents who are all working together to make this happen and to create this very extraordinary self-sustaining community that is working diligently to be a role model for the divine renaissance that the world is now giving birth to, thanks to this planetary awakening that is taking place. And it is a great joy and a great honor to be part of this movement into higher consciousness and planetary unity at this most auspicious historic moment of transition from one age to another, from one cycle of time to another. And I know that everyone who is drawn to an event like this must be a very old soul. And many have gone through other Kali Yugas and participated in other transitions from one cycle of time to another. And so deep in our souls, we know what this is about. And we understand the perfection of all that is happening and are able to approach this world transformation without fear, but with the gladness that comes with the realization that the capacity to rise in consciousness now together as a single wholehearted planetary noosphere is going to enable miraculous events to occur as this period of time unfolds to its climax. And so for those of you who are not familiar with the concept of a satsang, it's a gathering that is held in order to express and resonate at the highest level of consciousness, which in Sanskrit the ancient yogis referred to as sat. Sat is our supreme beingness. And by resonating together at that vibrational frequency of sat chit ananda, which is the word for that ultimate consciousness in all of its aspects of not only beingness, but intelligence, the infinite intelligence of the source of the entire cosmos and more. That ultimate intelligence that has designed and is choreographing this unfoldment to its most benevolent conclusion and to a new beginning at the highest level of consciousness, is also in a state of bliss, of ecstasy, of unlimited joy. And so the more we resonate in that union with God consciousness, with our ultimate self, our ultimate beingness, the more that joy will overcome any of the karmic baggage or weight or negativity or resistance that might still remain within the ego complex until it has been completely dissolved in that infinite field of shining, luminous awareness. I got a report of the earlier talks today, and they were wonderful, and they covered a great deal of what is going on at the phenomenal plane and what must be done at that level, which leaves me free to focus on the big picture, which I would like to explore with everyone. And then from there, we can understand the implications at each subset of that largest paradigm and context of reality until we understand how to act accurately in alignment with the Tao at the individual level, at the level of biological family, at the level of tribe, at the level of community, and at the global level. All of these levels are interweaving because the universe is operating on a fractal level of self-similarity at every different level of reality, from the most macrocosmic to the most microcosmic. And the human consciousness acts like the hinge between all of those and combines and integrates the understanding when our minds are clear of the maya, the illusion that comes from the ego complex. And so the entire challenge that we face as individuals and as a planetary species is to overcome the internal obstacles of incoherence, of fear, of desire, of identification with matter, with the physical body, so that our consciousness can be freed to again return to our real nature, which is in oneness with that infinite source of consciousness that is the creative power that underlies and pervades and determines the destiny of our universe and of each being within it. So if we start with that understanding of being and we recognize that the problems that we face come from our loss of contact with our real being. And this loss of contact began long before this COVID pandemic story took place. This has been a long fall of human consciousness from a divine level to a, let's say, a heroic level, and then to a metaphysical and religious level, and then finally in the 20th century to a mostly atheistic, materialistic, consumeristic, dumbed-down ego structure that has been mandated, imposed, indoctrinated upon most of us and has brought about a kind of cultural amnesia so that many of us don't understand the real history of our planet or of our cultural roots or of our real nature, because we have been trained to believe in Darwinism and in randomness, meaninglessness, that all of this universe is a result of chance rather than designed by a superintelligence. And so we have cut off our access and our connection. The word yoga means reconnection the same as the word religion, religare, reunite with that source of our consciousness and be able to download the intelligence and the willpower and the clarity and coherence of that unitive field so that we can live together in unity rather than as separate and conflictive entities struggling against each other for some crumbs of the pie that is gradually being taken away entirely from everyone, and now very rapidly. So everything that happens karmically in the external world is a reflection of what happens internally. When we regain our internal fullness and empowerment and our capacity to realize that we are dreamers of this dream, not victims of someone else's nightmare and agenda for us. When we take back our power spiritually and we create a morphogenetic field in which we are reconnected in what the ancient yogis call the net of Indra, a network of consciousnesses that are all unified and are all reflecting that same infinite luminosity and brilliance of the one self that each of us is a manifestation of. Each of us, equally, at our very core, is a manifestation of the Supreme Self. And it is the act of going within, deeper and deeper than the surface levels of the mind, of the ego, or even of the soul, to the deepest level of the unborn, uncreated awareness that is the origin and real nature of our being. It is this that must again emerge through our own invocation, through our own meditation, through our own surrender to that deepest part of our being, so that we can unite heart and mind in a state of divine love and wisdom that is able to bring unity and the full power of our creative intelligence acting together into effect, which will be able to overcome any darkness or any negativity that might now be standing in the way of peace and freedom and love and the unfoldment of our potential to recreate a world that is a kingdom of heaven in the true sense in which that term was originally delivered. So let us recognize that there is originally and ontologically, prior to the manifestation of the universe, a field of luminous consciousness. Everything is consciousness. What we call matter, even quantum physics now recognizes, is simply an agitation in the field. This ultimate field of consciousness, this oceanic infinite field of consciousness, gives birth to a quantum unified field, and then that field gives birth to the cosmos as we know it. But from that place of the ultimate consciousness, there is no time. All time is present here and now, all of space. There is no separation, and this is why there are phenomena like quantum entanglement. This is why there is superposition. This is why that we are all able to resonate at that same vibrational frequency and feel the rising of consciousness beyond the bodily limits of the ego when we silence the mind and focus on those vibrations that are present within the field of our awareness at the most subtle level when we enter into the core of our being. It is that act of yogic attunement that is the act that will liberate us individually and as a planet from the oppressive conditions that are currently taking place, that for some is appearing as a trauma, a vast traumatic loss of freedoms. But the other side of trauma is what the postmodern philosophers in the West, like Alain Badiou and Gilles Deleuze and others, have called the event. And an event is an opportunity for an awakening that can only come from a sudden shock to our going on being in normal ways, a stoppage of the symbolic order, a gaping hole in the real that can create terror for the ego, but creates the opportunity for liberation if we are willing to take a leap into the unknown and take advantage of what seem to be situations that are causing us to have to contract. But instead of that, they will enable us to expand. For example, if there is enforced solitude, that will enable you to go into deeper states of samadhi than you would have if you were allowed to be active, rajasic, as the yogis say, and discharge the energy in outer activity. We want now the inner action of non-action that enables the mind to become completely silent and to be able to be like the clearest mirror that receives the information directly and clearly from that supreme source of consciousness, and be able to then translate that into action and into vibrational transmissions that bring about a unification of the collective consciousness. So all of the things that we are losing are bringing about a possibility of gains that we might not have chosen otherwise. And we always have to see what is the blessing hidden in the apparent dark cloud that seems to be covering the world. And when we are able to see that and make use of it, then the darkness itself turns to light. And it is this metamorphosis that human consciousness is designed to achieve. And this is the moment of that global awakening that could not have happened under other conditions, that will now enable us to reach our true fulfillment. So once we understand that there is one self, one single whole consciousness that has given rise to the entire universe, then each of us is a node of that consciousness. And each of us has a little dream within the great dream. And once we can pierce through that little dream of the ego, we again become one with the great dream and with the dreamer of the dream. And it is this liberation from the small self with a small s to the great self that will be all that is necessary to free our planet from the current chains of oppression, external and internal. It is this that will end the karmic baggage that keeps people in a state of, let's say, spiritual immaturity, and that can be overcome very easily when we are determined and we are clear and we seek the greatest truth and the purest love. And it is this purification of our motivation that is the key to our self-liberation. It is only when we have overcome ego consciousness and its paranoid mentality that we will be able to recreate community in the highest sense. And community is the important base for creating a network of global consciousness that transforms the entire noosphere. And so I hope that everyone who is listening will take heed and work together to create meditation circles and communities that are not just people getting together occasionally, but that you can, at least those of you who feel called to do so, create communities in which you're growing your own food and living at the periphery and off the grid, or preparing for those times when the grid will no longer be available, and be able to function and sustain through a time of tribulation that is ahead for most of the world's population. We should also keep in mind that because the entire universe is consciousness, that the earth herself, Gaia, is conscious. And Gaia is participating in a major way, and she is becoming ever more active. And don't think that those earthquakes and volcanoes and tsunamis and all of the extreme weather is accidental. But we must not see that either as some curse, but take advantage of that, because it is also disrupting plans of those who would want to create a different kind of order that is not in alignment with God consciousness. And don't think that Surya is not involved, the sun god, as he was named in ancient India. The sun and its solar emissions is also part of the shift of climate and the shift of the electromagnetic field of the planet and of the subtle vibrational frequencies to which human life and all life is attuned. So everything that is happening is working together at a cosmic level and at a human level. And the more that each individual takes responsibility for anchoring and downloading that divine power and living in accord with that, and not giving in to fear and not giving in to the obsolete petty narratives of the ego that would focus at too limited a horizon of trying to get some individual enjoyment, but to focus on the need to sacrifice the ego in order for the welfare of the whole to be able to be achieved. It is that capacity to sacrifice out of love that we are all called upon to activate at this time, in which those forces of light and dark are colliding and can only be resolved in unity by our choosing the light, and instantaneously the shining of light eliminates all darkness. The attainment of this realization of the self is something that everyone is yearning for at a deep level. But there is also fear of the unknown, of letting go, and of the inner silence in which we will no longer know who we think we are. We will no longer have the beliefs that, even though they created all of our suffering, have also created a net of meaning that has held the consciousness in place. And we must allow those bonds to let go so that new meaning, new wisdom can come in, and a cosmic consciousness can replace the individual ego complex and bring a new level of clarity, no longer based upon an individual sense of self, but on that universal selfhood that is perfection and that is beauty, that is goodness, that is love. All of the spiritual traditions, East and West, have taught this same truth throughout our history. This is nothing new. We can find it in the Greek philosophers, we can find it in the Buddhist yogis, the Taoist yogis, the Vedic yogis, we can find it with the Sufis, we find it clearly in Christian mysticism, in Jewish Kabbalah, we find it in alchemy, we find it in all of the traditions that have been based upon the downloads of sages who have reached that ultimate state. Even though different terminology may be used, the ultimate realization is the same for all of those beings who have reached at the absolute. And it is that we are now called upon to replicate in our own consciousness. And not to look outward, but to look inward to find the real. So, because time is short, I would like to guide a short meditation for those of you who have not meditated yet or have not much experience in meditation. I want you to understand that it's not difficult, because it is simply a return to our real nature. And so we don't have to adopt any particular position, but if you keep the back straight, not hunch over or lean, the energies will flow up and down the spinal cord, the kundalini will be able to rise, the shaktipat will be able to be received from the highest consciousness. And so sit in a comfortable position with the back straight. You may want to close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. Breathe out any stress, any tension from the body. And then let the breathing become very slow. And pay attention to the breathing without trying to do anything to it. Let it become very natural. As your breathing slows down, your heart rate will also slow down. And your brain waves will shift into alpha, and then perhaps even reach theta and delta. A slowing down of thoughts will happen. You'll notice a deeper silence, a deeper serenity. Turn the attention inward and silently wonder about the ultimate consciousness that you are. Come back into the real source of what you mean by I am. Come into that state of silent awareness, deeper within than thought. And as you enter into the silence, feel the quality of the energy of pure consciousness. Feel the quality of the peace. And let the mind reach a state of stillness. And in that stillness, let the ego fall away. Let the identification with the body fall away. And realize that all you are is consciousness. and that everything appears that appears in the world is just an appearance in your consciousness. But your consciousness is all that is. And so let the awareness dissolve into this all-encompassing, all-pervading presence that is the real self, that is the one self. And let the heart open to receive the love of the One Self and be nourished and recharged by the love and the light of this Supreme Presence that is both within and without. Feel yourself bathing in this absolute consciousness as if being baptized by the supreme light and love and power. Feel your consciousness being transformed, the ego dissolving, the self fully emerging in a state of joy and yet quiet rest. And feel that paradox of emptiness and fullness. Feel your connectedness to the Source. And through the Source, your connectedness to all beings. And the more that you resonate in this frequency, the more that we will all be connected telepathically and spiritually so that our energies will support one another non-locally. At every place in space and time. Let all agitations dissolve into the field of consciousness. And realize yourself as the field in total harmony with all that is. Your natural state is silent presence, able to receive downloads from the Akashic records, from the noosphere, from the infinite intelligence, and activate spontaneously the body and the mind in accord with that supreme will of the Tao. You are an embodiment, a Christ consciousness, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, of Buddha nature. You are a bodhisattva. You are a jivan mukta. Our purpose in life is to realize our oneness with the Supreme, to be divinized. This is theosis. This is the return to the God Self that all of us have the birthright to attain simply through surrender and through assuming our true nature, claiming it, letting go of all the chains of attachment that had held us back and realize perfect freedom. Freedom that is the consciousness beyond both life and death, in non-duality, in uncreated timelessness. You are that here and now. Let the light shine through the mind, through the heart, through the form. In unison with all beings. And feel the infinite support of that unmanifest presence that is always with you and always guiding, always reliable to bring healing and peace and liberation from the illusion of the world. Perceive it all as the dream that it is, the holographic simulation, and be free of the matrix simply by realizing your unborn self. Give yourself the gift of liberation. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. You can let your eyes open when you wish, but stay attuned to this consciousness that you have received and connected with in the silence as your real self. And feel the power of self-realization. And let yourself see in every being that same light, that same power of goodness, so that it is encouraged to emerge from every soul. And let us liberate our planet for a new age that begins now. Namaste. So I know that time is short and that there may be some questions from those who are attending on the love stream, and I want to make sure we have time to answer as many as possible. And I'll ask Purusha to ask those which seem most urgent and perhaps most common to as many as possible so that we can be of as much service as we can for this event.
I want to welcome everyone again who's joining us for the reunion summit, and thanks a lot to Josh for inviting us and helping to organize this event. Our first question comes from Sarah, who asks, how does the ego play out at the different levels of consciousness?
Well, the ego is a level of consciousness, and it is that level that has been installed in the human species in Kali Yuga, in this last phase of history. But before that, we didn't operate from the ego. We operated earlier in the soul consciousness and before that in supreme consciousness of absolute unity of all. So there has been a fall. And the ego consciousness itself has morphed from a more sattvic or pure form of ego back in what we now quaintly call the ancient world, that of Greece and of Rome and of the ancient China. But before that, ancient Egypt, and before that, Atlantis, and before that, Hyperborea, and before that, Treta Yuga, and before that, Sat Yuga, there were higher states of consciousness than we can now imagine that were common to all of us. So the ego is that level of consciousness that operates with human language as it is today. And human language is embedded in duality, in subject-object separation. And so in order to go beyond the ego consciousness, we must transcend language. And then there will be not thinking, but direct knowing. So the ego will no longer play a part, but the capacities of the ego will be able to be used by the higher self in order to translate that knowledge that is inconceivable in language into as accurate an expression of truth as language can bear. But we will be in a state that is beyond ego and beyond duality. And it's that state that we must learn to resonate in continually. So I hope that answers your question. But the problem with the ego is that it has an internal sensor, like its own CIA, its own agency that keeps it from retaining information or receiving information because of its defense mechanisms. And it is infiltrated by a subconscious with its own fantasies and its own desires and fears that are not under the control of the conscious mind. So in order to get sovereignty over our own consciousness, we must transcend the ego and then dissolve its structure so that it then becomes a vessel in which we can function and use our capacities of thinking in the service of that higher knowing from the real self.
Our next question comes from Nadine, who says, how to dissolve ongoing family patterns of control. I was fine with live and let live, but increasing interference now is having strong influence on my health due to cancer. A tumor that reduced 50% grew back in 2 months. Cutting off ties would mean losing my 10-year-old son without going into details.
It's a difficult question that we all must face. But if we are connected to God consciousness, then you will be able to detach and allow what is destined to be to happen. And you may be surprised at the kinds of synchronicities and the kinds of unpredicted events that may create harmony once you have become internally harmonious and free from any need or dependency upon the other. So it is that self-sovereignty that is in connection with the supreme sovereign consciousness that will not only free you from the negative emotions that may be part of the cancer, but will also strengthen your immune system to heal it and enable you to live in a way that will bring about the optimal capacity for that healing to happen, including a change of diet. Eating the right kind of foods, like raw fruits, will help a lot. You can do your own due diligence about that. But changing of diet, changing of your spiritual vibrational frequency, and living in accord with the will of that supreme intelligence will bring about healing, even if not a cure, because we are not the body. And if and when it is time to leave the body, we must do it so without thinking it's a tragedy or that it's the end, because consciousness continues. And you will find that after leaving the body, you will be able to have continuity of consciousness and even more effectiveness as an agent for change and renaissance in the physical dimension by working at the angelic level of consciousness. So do not be afraid, and let the power of the highest destiny guide you, and trust that whatever happens is for the best.
Our next question comes from Pete and Anne, who ask, what can Shunyamurti share with us about the planetary changes over the next 5 years?
You're an optimist or a pessimist? I'm not sure which is the better term for that. Things are happening very quickly, and I think we must recognize that change is happening exponentially. But I don't think it's a good idea to either try to make predictions about the future or to imagine that everything is set in stone, because everything is determined by what we do now. This moment, which is affected teleologically by the future, can also change it. There's a feedback loop. And even though that change is also part of the predestination, nonetheless, things can happen in very miraculous ways that we should not put on a calendar of events, because that will tend to make the ego want to wait to see if something is going to happen rather than to make it happen. So let's assume that the change that has to happen must happen now. As the events unfold in an accelerated way, we must be able to ride that wave and not be drowned by it. So we need to be in that highest state of consciousness. And then the changes that will happen, yes, they will occur very quickly. And they will be of an extreme nature that to those who are unprepared will feel cataclysmic, but that will actually bring about world renewal. But we're going to see some continents go down and some new land masses come up from the ocean. We're going to see massive changes if we're on the earth plane or even beyond. But the whole planet will get a spring cleaning, and new species will arise, and nature will renew herself. But we have to be those who renew our right to be sovereign on this planet and to take care of nature, which we have failed to do. The human species is the psychic immune system of Gaia. And because we have fallen into too low a state, we have failed to protect Gaia with a kind of a mind field that would keep out any alien infiltration from negative agencies from the cosmos. And now we must restore that immune system through ourselves becoming manifestations of that supreme power of goodness and of love and of light. But we must do this as a species. And it is that will bring about the changes that will enable the highest outcome to happen in the quickest way with the least suffering, so that the most benign resolution to all of the issues that we face can happen in the immediacy of this time without extending the time of suffering. So I hope that answer is sufficient for you. But to go into all the details of what is going to unravel would take a long time. But everything is going to change. The ground itself is being taken away, and we must depend only on that supreme power to guide us and support us in this time.
Thank you. A question from Jennifer. Jennifer says, I don't know what to do out in the world to be most helpful. I've been, quote-unquote, waiting for a sign and in the meantime working on myself. I'm wondering how one knows what the best action to take is.
The more that you meditate and become centered internally in silence, you will be called, you will be given a message and a guidance. And events will happen. People will come to you who were meant to see you, to whom you will find yourself giving messages and receiving messages. And you will begin to collect people who resonate at the same level, gather together with those who already are opened to higher truth and to working together and meditating together, create energy fields of great positive power and invite others into that field to join for their own healing and transformation and to transmit as beacons of light that energy so that we create a network of luminous consciousness that covers the entire planet. And you will be guided what to do. It's not so much the action that you take externally. That will happen spontaneously. It's the state of consciousness that you are in. And that should be with the ego mind extinguished and resting in the supreme consciousness and allowing that to move you. And that consciousness will not err in its guidance and its motivation and its bringing the synchronicitous events into your field and your space in order to accelerate and exponentiate the powers of light.
Beautiful. Okay, a question from Bella. Bella asks, why would such a higher intelligence allow a form of amnesia that drives madness into the hearts of humankind?
Well, we are given free will, so it's not just that is allowed. We're allowed to go down in consciousness, we're allowed to go up. Consciousness is a spectrum, and human beings are given freedom of will. You wouldn't want it otherwise, or we would be robots. They want to bring robots into the world and create artificial consciousness and eliminate the human species and eliminate freedom. So freedom is a good, but we must take responsibility for using our freedom to rise to the highest levels and not to fall. But we are not victimized. We are here because of the choices that we have made, not only in this life but in past lives that have led to the conditions of indoctrination into ego consciousness. So now we must use our freedom to rise instantly back to that level that we were at thousands of years ago and resonate at that level and through that power to change the world. It's the only power that will do it. And it must come through complete peace and love and nonviolence and purity of heart. It won't come through any conflict or struggle or any violence or attempts to do this forcibly. It has to be in accord with that supreme will. That is the power that we have, and we must never stray from that. But this power of sovereignty was not taken away from us. We chose to give it up in favor of intense sensory experience. And now we must sacrifice that for the super sensory dimension of our being, and through that letting go to return to our true empowerment.
Thank you. A question from Chris, very simply, how does one realize the self permanently?
Well, first know that you are the self, and that the self, therefore, cannot be attained by the ego. It's not a matter of trying from ego consciousness to get there. It's a matter of disidentifying from the ego. And that means being the witness to the mind, the witness to the thoughts and the emotions and the ego drives, and not giving into them, but turning the consciousness toward the source of your being. And as you turn inward to that source, you will feel the presence of the light and the power that enables you to give up the habit of returning into identity with the ego. It's a habit pattern. And once you stop going back into that identification, the strength of the ego will lessen and gradually it will be extinguished and will no longer disturb you. But there must be a relentless, continuous abidance as the silent presence without falling back intermittently into ego consciousness until it has been completely annihilated as a mental object.
A question from Jeffrey. Jeffrey says, there are people who are living on Earth who embody extraterrestrial consciousness and who have contact. What will it take for an awakening society to better acknowledge and relate to this presence?
There's more than one, and there are different levels of consciousness. But if we relate at the highest level of consciousness, we will have cosmic consciousness. We will be able to relate to all beings, but relate to all beings from a position of strength, of authority, because we are in alignment with the supreme power that gives us the right to this planetary existence. And once we have regained our worthiness and our rightful authority, we will be able to join in intergalactic citizenship and stop the provincial earthbound identity and become true cosmopolitan beings that we have only imagined in a very inaccurate way. We must get out of this very limited provincial one species consciousness and realize that who we are transcends all limits of speciation and realize that universal infinite self. And then all will be welcomed in friendship and be able to be related to in a state of unity and of love and of respect and of honoring each one's uniqueness as well as the oneness that unites us.
Thank you. A question from Sophia, who asks, how does one balance commitment to developing one's spiritual capital while also committing to one's physical life? Does the desire to have a home, family, kids, career, etc., contradict with a spiritual journey? Does the answer to this question have to come from Source or God?
Whatever your situation, you can be in God consciousness. It's certainly not disturbed. And yes, one can have a family. One can have all of the accoutrements of a so-called normal life to the extent that that still exists. But very soon, those conditions are going to change. And you don't want to be dependent upon conditions that will be soon taken away for many. There will soon be a food shortage. There will soon be no employment. The dollar will crash. The whole economy will be gone. There will be wars of a kind that you may find unimaginable, and cyber war, and all kinds of shifts of every sort possible to imagine on this planet. And so one must be very agile and detached and able to move and shift with those changes and not be horrified and not turn losses into tragedies, but realize that we are being freed to return to the real. But that means a letting go. And so of everything that we might have depended upon for our identity. So while, yes, you can be in a family and be illumined, and maybe that is your destiny to be allowed to continue in that state and allow a family and community to flourish, but it may as well not be the case. And one must be open to whatever destiny has in store for each individual. And rather than to complain or to try to defend or protect what from what is happening, one must be able to ride those waves with the freedom to change and to accept in a very radical way what we must accomplish and what we must be willing to sacrifice in order to achieve that ultimate fulfillment.
A question from Nadine, who says, can you speak more about the unborn self?
Ultimately, it's beyond words, beyond language. The unborn self is the self that is unlimited and blissful and eternal. It is a state of immortal consciousness that is fearless and that is shining and that sees that oneness everywhere. So there is no world separate from the unborn self. All that manifests is simply a reflection and an expression of that infinite intelligence in every possible permutation. And so that self is the nature of the miraculous astonishment that comes with the complete dropping of a sense of a separate I. But I don't have the words. I don't know any poet who has ever expressed accurately this ultimate understanding. You can see it in the eyes of great sages like Sri Ramana. You can see it in the ways that those enlightened beings have lived their lives blissfully and egolessly. But I don't think that we can express it in literary terms. It is something we must come to know directly through the silencing of the language and the attainment of that frequency that is in non-duality and to whom there is no other that one would need to express anything to, because we are all in that oneness as a whole. There is nothing beyond that. And so in that state, I don't think there's even any motive or intentionality that remains other than that which is to be expressed to bring those who are not yet into that state to have direct realization.
Thank you. A question from Camilla, who says, the pressure on the head and the burning sensation inside my brain is huge. I feel the light straight through my body, trembling in my whole body. It's been like this for a couple of months, not only in meditation. Do you have any advice on what to do? I'm having feelings of fear, and I'm finding it hard to let go.
Well, that's why this is happening. It's the burning of the fire of yoga, but the resistance is causing it to extend in time. So if you can sacrifice your fear and trust and give yourself to divine love, the burning away of the ego consciousness that's trying to maintain control over the neurological self must allow itself to accept the input of the Shakti, of the divine power that will dissolve the ego. The ego is afraid of depersonalization. And so that causes it to tighten its grip upon the mind. And then that causes even more pressure to be put onto the consciousness as it's in a struggle against itself. And so the more there is surrender to however you understand the supreme intelligence and love, as Buddha, as the supreme self, as God, as Brahman, but surrender to it, and that burning will dissolve the ego quickly and free you from that suffering, and then enable the blissful nature of the Shakti to emerge and light up the brain with great joy and fill the whole body and the whole space with that luminous energy. Blessings on that journey of realization.
Okay, our next question is there a portion of one's cognition that can be attributed to a higher place? What is the best point of focus when going deep within, such that I can then walk about with it?
The focus is not in space or time. The focus is on the sense of I am. And as you focus on that sense, not the word I, but the place from which the sense and the word I would emerge, to be in the silence of that place, the universal self will emerge in place of the individual ego I. And then you want to hold on to the energy that comes in that space of the great I am. And it's a frequency or a tone almost, a silent tone, but you'll feel it. And just like a singer will hold a note, you want to hold that tone of consciousness until it becomes the natural vibration that you are able to return to and then gradually to establish yourself in and never to leave. But it is accessible only when the mind has been silenced and the focus is one-pointed and wholehearted upon the source of your being. I hope that is of help to you.
Question from Bob, who says, you spoke on an earlier broadcast on this forum today about other dimensional and off-planet allies and forces. Could you expand on this?
There are allies. There are angelic allies. And there are allies of a cosmic nature. They will reveal themselves when we have reached a level of consciousness in which they can meet us without our having fear. And when we are able to have achieved the sovereignty that we can be honored in our true nature and we can share a mutuality of cosmic community. So there is not more than that I am allowed to say or would be appropriate to say until we have as a community reached that level of resonance and sovereignty of consciousness that will invite those allies to be present in the phenomenal space as well as in the space of pure awareness that is interdimensional. But that is in the hands of God and in the will be the result of our own transformation. How close they can and will and will be allowed to come and to offer the kind of assistance that will change the context of what is happening from being that of a single planet to being that of the cosmic reality.
A question from Christine. Do you believe it's possible to neutralize any toxic substance before or when we ingest it? And if so, does that mean that nothing is toxic except for our mind about it, kind of like walking across hot coals?
It's possible, but you would have to be in a very high state of consciousness in which you realize that there is no such thing as matter, as a body, that we are all beings of light. And in that state of consciousness, yes, the luminous goodness of the self would prevail over any toxic vibrational frequency. But there is no guarantee that will be the case and that you will be in that state of consciousness. And there are some who may be destined to leave the body and not to remain in the phenomenal plane to work at the angelic level with those allies. And if that is the case, then there should not be any struggle about wanting to remain within the physical plane. And one will receive guidance from those angelic guides as to what will be the moment to completely let go of the phenomenal world and to rise into the next dimension.
Question from Linda. Linda says, how can I be of service? I'm 68 years old. Will I see the end of this illusion before I die?
That's a matter of karma for everyone, because we don't know the date in which we will be called to leave the body. But yes, it could well be the case that you will. And I think that is the case for most beings. And those who leave the body before that will come back in any case or witness it from the next dimension up. But what we are to do is to become beings of light, beacons of divine love and light and shine. That's all. Everything else will come as a result of what we are putting out. That's what we will get back. So we want to make sure not to project any negativity or any fear or any lower kinds of desires, so that we attract the highest blessings and events into our lives.
Our next question is, I have friends who don't meditate, but they're more into praying, like learned in the Bible. What do you think about people joining who meditate with people who pray? Is it the same?
Yes, prayer is a form of meditation. The only difference is that at the highest level of prayer, which is called contemplative prayer, or sometimes now centering prayer, you stop talking to God and you start listening to God's response. That's meditation. So it is the highest state of prayer. And once you have expressed and made a connection to God, then you want to be able to stay in stillness and receive God's response in the form of energy, and a current will flow into you that will enlighten and enliven and recharge your batteries and give you wisdom and willpower that you might not have had otherwise to keep rising in consciousness and to let go of the ego. So, yes, prayer and meditation and contemplation, ultimately all are the same. And we want to make our lives into a meditation, so there is no special kind of activity required, and we're always resonating in that frequency.
Okay, a question from Laura, who says, how do we best communicate this to children or young adults and prepare them for change?
Well, we have to speak in an age-appropriate way, clearly, but children get it, and they probably get it more than the adults do, and are closer to that understanding that their consciousness preexisted their young bodies. And so to many children will even spontaneously talk about past lives and about angels and have much more knowledge than their parents have, since the parents have usually forgotten and lost touch with that level of our being in order to adapt with the social order. So I do think you can speak to children and also listen to children, find out what they already know, and then build upon that and be willing to learn from them and meditate with them and help them to know that they are recognized as immortal, eternal beings, and for the parents to be humble enough to not believe you have given birth to this soul. You've only given birth to the bodily vehicle, but your child may be an older soul than you are and may have been your parents in different lifetimes. And so you have to relate at that equal level, that we are all souls who are offspring of the one supreme mother, father, self. And then you will see that you will be able to have very, very deep connections and be able to create an energy field with your children and with a whole extended family at a much higher level of consciousness that will bring in even more of that divine energy into your space and offer a protective aura that will give a great deal of safety and security to everyone.
Thank you. Monica asks, is evil part of God's creation?
Well, again, what we call evil is really not much different than the bacteria that would decompose a dead body. The evil comes in when humans have died to their spiritual nature. And that darkness, which is not real, it's a privation of reality, it's an illusion, comes only when we have fallen into illusion. And so it is there to awaken us from the zombie state of consciousness that we had fallen into. So evil is not really evil, but it is a darkness that enables us and forces us to awaken again to who we are. So it has a positive purpose, and it clears away a world of suffering and oppression and makes way for a world of goodness to return. Evil destroys itself. It does not and cannot prevail.
Our next question is, how do we surrender?
Through love of what is beyond our limited nature and what is ultimate goodness that we need. The ultimate reality is non-dual. And we can say that I am that, tattvamasi, thou art that, a famous Mahavakya or aphorism of Indian philosophy. But when you're still in ego consciousness, duality is true. And the more that we love God or the Buddha or Brahman or Shiva or Krishna or Christ or whatever name we wish to give to that and whatever image we wish to give to that which is beyond name and form, the more we surrender with love, the more love we will receive until it is love itself that creates the union of the realization of non-duality. So yes, love that ultimate real, invoke the presence of God to save you from your own ego's defensiveness and limitation and lostness in lower consciousness. And the more that that love is there, the more that you will be filled with inspiration and wisdom and power to rise to your true level of self-sovereignty that has the intelligence to understand the extraordinary tapestry of beauty that is going on in this cosmic drama that we are playing our parts in, and to see its perfection and appreciate it. And the more that we perceive and understand, the more we will surrender to that perfection, and the more our hearts will open to love. But love is the key, and it's the love that brings about the wisdom and the empowerment.
Question from Jeffrey, who says, do you think we will be staying on Earth through this planetary shift, or will we go elsewhere? Perhaps a shared reality in a higher dimension.
That may be different for different souls. I think that some will come back to sustain the earth. Some may have their destiny elsewhere. And some may graduate entirely from this school of phenomenal plain life on the earth and go to higher levels of the educational process that God has designed for us all. So it will be different depending on our karma and our own desire. For the nature of the adventure that we seek to enjoy and fulfill. But God has something for everyone, a much greater offering panorama than Disneyland could ever even imagine. And you will be able to choose once you have reached that level of sovereignty in which all of your current karma has been resolved. Because if you haven't finished with the karma of this plane, then you have to come back and do it all over again. So you don't want to stay in the ego. You want to graduate. And then, yes, it's ship ahoy for many cosmic and transcosmic adventures that lie ahead.
Oh, dovetailing off of our last question, Sophia asks, what is love?
What is love? What is love? It's a many splendored thing. Do I have words for that? The great poets, again, I think could not express the truth of love. But it's the ecstasy of the realization that everyone is God, everything is perfect, all is beauty. Even the most horrific massacres, as the great Zainab, the Shiite heroine of the great battle, saw when the Imam Ali was betrayed, the infinite beauty of everything that happens, that is our capacity, our heart, to open totally to accept the will of God. It is that acceptance beyond what we could imagine possible or right according to our own standards and criteria. Love gives up all of those criteria, all of the master's discourse that thinks I know what is right and wrong and what should be, and says, may God's will prevail. And then enjoy every event, every moment, as an absolute lesson in the perfection of what is, and how the unfoldment of the explicate order is expressing the exquisite, infinite beauty of the implicate order of the knowledge and the dramatic choreography that God is providing for all of us as this world drama comes to its climax and its denouement.
Wow.
I hope that expressed something. Anyway, I love to talk about it, but you have to be in that state, not just thinking about it. Okay. Does anyone here in local space have a question? Because I've avoided all of you, and I apologize. I know we can meet and talk anytime, but if there is anyone in the ashram who would like to ask a question or make a comment, is Nirgun one of those? Or
I have a mic.
You have a mic for anyone? Is there a hand that... there's a hand, Saraswati.
Thank you for the beautiful talk and all of the enlightening answers.
Thank you.
You spoke very beautifully about the other side of the trauma is an event, and the shift in the, the outlook of that particular occurrence. Can you talk a little bit more about that process of going from trauma to the other side and reframing, what one is experiencing?
Mm-hmm. We must have a sufficient amount of basic trust in the goodness of reality to recognize that whatever happens to us or has happened that might have been very toxic, very defiling, very abusive, traumatizing, whatever is going on now that is oppressive and restrictive, is an expression of the energies that are projected into the dream field that we have disowned, that have caused us to be off kilter, to be out of alignment with that divine will. And so if we take them as course corrections, as situations that are occurring that are forcing us to come back into our center and to humble ourselves and to purify our consciousness of whatever within the self is itself toxic, like anger, hatred, fear, negative projections on others, any sort of loss of our divine purity and the beauty of our souls, whatever has defiled us from within. If we accept that that purification is necessary, and with remorse and with a return, a conversion of our attention to God from the world, and a transvaluation of our values to be in accord with that higher will, the more that we do that, the more that we will then see the outer world will shift, and that which was traumatic will simply be recognized as an educational heuristic event that impelled us to grow. And it's the imperative to grow and transform that is now the need of the moment. And everyone must do that. And so whatever it is that has hemmed in the ego is a blessing, so that we can go beyond the ego and not depend on what the ego can bring us for our lives and our support. We must let go of that limited mental vessel and find the unlimited vehicle of God consciousness. And so it is that the turning of what looks like a horrible negative experience into an opportunity to reach a higher level of consciousness than we could ever have conceived. Any last question in the room? Okay, is there any burning question from the group, Purusha?
Sure. Last question from Serena, who says, my 11-year-old son is asking what it truly means to have freedom.
Well, I would consider, first of all, that we're talking about internal freedom. So it's creative freedom. Is your mind free to think, as Zhuangzi, the great Chinese sage, said, to think recklessly, to think outside the box, to paint, to sing, to dance, to express yourself wildly, beautifully, insane with love, as the great sage Rumi said, and to live large, to live in spirit, in wholeness, in joy, uninhibited, and with clarity and coherence, and be able to express your entire self, not just one limited sliver of who you are, and to perceive all that is, the most subtle and the most gross, as a single whole. So it's the freedom of perception, of expression, and the freedom to be detached from any conditions in the world, to live in unconditional love and in unconditioned consciousness that is not afraid of life and not afraid of death. Okay, I think on that note, we should end the satsang. But I would say to everyone, we created this community. I came to Costa Rica right after 9/11. I saw this happening. And it took years to start this community and to get this ashram going. It's still a work in progress. Now things have to happen much faster. But it can be done if you have a wholehearted will to do it. And if you can create such a community in which you can have the most external freedom because you're not in the maelstrom of those situations that will be most locked down, literally, and have the most freedom to grow spiritually, please do it. Some of you may want to come here as retreatants and have some training to be able to go out and form other communities. A few of you may even want to come and live here and join us. We welcome those who feel in attunement and alignment with our vision. And we want to support all of those out there who want to create communities and even study circles and meditation circles to be able to raise consciousness and then perhaps take action as groups and members of the tribe that have different extensions in different parts of the world. And in this ashram, we are dedicated to supporting everyone who is on the path of light in whatever way that we can. So stay in touch with us. If you can join our website and be part of our teachings, we intend to keep offering information that is current and relevant and useful to growth and transformation and to answer more of your questions as they arrive in real time on a day-to-day basis. So we are here as a resource, and everyone in the community now has been in training to be a teacher and a guide and a help, and we want to offer that help to as many as possible. So don't lose hope or faith, but redouble your efforts of spiritual growth and self-maturation. Take the help of the great sages of all the traditions. Take the help of communities like this one, and mobilize your energies and your potentialities to create communities of trust and of friendship and collegiality in the purity of divine love, so that all the boats can rise together in the high tide of a new consciousness that will bring a rebirth to our beautiful divine world and to bring happiness and joy to every soul once more. Thank you all for your participation. Thank everyone here and everyone on the love stream. And our blessings and our love and our light are always being transmitted to you. And we join with you in this movement into God consciousness and a return to that nature which is our true home, our true abode, and to that love that redeems and saves and transforms us all into the one God self. Namaste.